really lovely to see you. Can you all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Thumbs up. Excellent. Lovely. Thank you very much. Shall we begin with a moment of prayer? Father God, we thank you so much that we're able to come together virtually as we are. We thank you that we can come together to celebrate this day of Pentecost and the gift of your Holy Spirit. And I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will fall in each household and on each of us afresh today. Amen. Just before we begin our service properly, just a couple of things. As Mark said, make sure that you all have your bread. We'll talk a bit more about how that's going to work when we come to that part of the service. And just as we sing and as we speak the words of liturgy, just engage in whatever way is comfortable for you. We've said before, if during the singing you would like to stand, you'd like to raise your hands, or you'd like to sit quietly with your eyes closed, whatever helps you to worship the Lord is absolutely fine. The main thing is that we're all here together and we're all worshiping the same Lord. Okay, thank you for this lovely day, this beautiful sunshine. We need to make the most of that today. Oh, right. That's a sign for me to stop rattling on and get on with the service, I think. God is spirit.
Let us worship him in spirit and truth.
The Lord is with us.
Let us praise his name together.
And we're going to join together and sing our first song, Faithful One.
Again and again.
In please, Mark. I had really poor quality there, everything was out of sync. Would you like me to play the music from my computer? I can't hear you.
I think that might be advisable. I have tried fiddling with things to reduce, it seems to be a problem on my system. So,
okie dokie. So, I'll do the music.
When I do the music,
folks, bear with me because it will take a few seconds for me to do the transition. Thanks.
Thank you, Alan. Back to you, Jackie.
Okay, thank you. We're going to come to a time now where we come before God and bring before him all of those things that have been weighing heavily on us during this week. What God has prepared for those who love him, he has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything. Therefore, let us in penitence open our hearts to the Lord, who has prepared good things for those who love him. You raise the dead to life in the Spirit. You bring hope from despair. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
You bring pardon and peace to the broken in heart. You replace brokenness with beauty. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
You make one by your Spirit the torn and divided. You increase your kingdom. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, who in Jesus Christ has given us a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, forgive us our sins, Open our hearts to your truth. Strengthen us to do his will. And give us the joy of his kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And as we reflect on the fact that we are a forgiven people once again, we're going to sing our next song, Spirit of the Living God.
Very shortly.
Going to have our reading.
A question here, Jackie Crisp was unable to get unmuted. Are you there, Jackie Crisp? If not, I shall be Jackie Crisp as well. So, our reading today is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 42. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, sorry, we have another hiccup. Andrew and Derek, can you unmute yourselves?
Yeah, we couldn't.
It was the host.
Said the host wouldn't let us unmute.
Right.
But it has now.
Right, hang on, before we go any further, Andrew, can you right, I shall introduce something again.
Can you hear?
Right. Amazing. Bit
Alan,
like,
can you hear?
They asked one another,
aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues.
Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another,
what does this mean?
Some, however, made fun of them and said, they had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd.
Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him.
Peter then quotes from a psalm to back up the next part of his argument before continuing.
Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah.
When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied,
repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, who are all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.
With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them.
Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.
Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for us being able to hear what happened that first Sunday, that Pentecost in Jerusalem, when the Holy Spirit filled all the disciples. Lord, speak to us now, and may we learn of the wonders of the things that you do, both then and now. Amen. For those of you who don't know me, I ought to introduce myself. I'm Alan Cossey. I'm a reader, or by the new name, I have to shut my eyes to remember this, it's Licensed Lay Minister, or LLM. Today is Pentecost. It's the Greek name for an annual Jewish festival, Festival of Weeks, which was a celebration of the end of the barley harvest. It was 50 days after Passover, hence the Penty bit in the name. So why do we celebrate Pentecost each year? We celebrate the outpouring of the Spirit, which on that day resulted in a violent wind, tongues of fire resting on each believer, then being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then telling others of the wonders of God in various languages, languages which they hadn't learnt, but where the crowd heard in their own native language. Remember, the word tongue and language is the same in the Greek that Luke was using. This Pentecost that we hear about here was God doing God's things in God's way, in God's time. But he'd foretold this through the prophet Joel. Joel was a prophet at a time of great plagues of locusts, the time of God's judgment when his people had turned away from him. Through Joel, God promised that if his people turned back to him, he would heal their land. But he also promised there would be a time when he would bless them not just with good harvests, but a time when he would pour out his Spirit on all types of people, on men and women, young and old, when people would then tell everyone else about his deeds. Remember that prophecy can also mean forthtelling as well as foretelling. Forthtelling as well as foretelling. In the forthtelling of God's deeds, we tell of his works, his nature, his love, for he thinks of society, both then and now, and of his people, then and now. Certainly, sometimes, often in the Old Testament, prophets told God's people that this, that, or the other was going to happen, often depending on their response, whether they turned back to God or not. But the prophets also called his people to repentance and to trust in him, to turn back to him. Joel foretells that people would forthtell the wonders of God, and that was what happened this Pentecost. At this Pentecost, God chose to pour out his Spirit on believers in a spectacular fashion, so that whatever the native language was of the hearers, there was someone in the disciples who was speaking in their language, declaring the wonders of God. Now, something similar, not quite the same, but something similar happened twice elsewhere in Acts of the Apostles. The first one was where Peter, good Jewish boy, he was called by God to go to a house where there was a group of Gentiles, non-Jews, where there was a Roman centurion. Peter, he gritted his teeth and he went along. And he was preaching his sermon, he was telling them about Jesus, when suddenly the Holy Spirit fell upon them, upon the Gentile believers. And they too spoke in languages they hadn't understood, that they'd not learned. And the other time it happened was when Paul came to a group of disciples who had a very incomplete and inadequate understanding of what it meant to follow Jesus, and the Spirit came upon them in the same way. The New Testament writers speak about these events in various ways. In chapter 1 of Acts, which we didn't read today, Jesus tells the disciples that they will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. referring to that same event which we heard this morning, Luke calls it being filled with the Spirit. These are different ways of describing very similar things. And it's easy to get hung up on vocabulary. We shouldn't do that. What we need to do is to be open to God for whatever he wants to do with us and whatever he wants to call it. It's a bit similar to how we speak of our relationship with Jesus in different ways. Sometimes we speak of it as being born again, or being a Christian, or being a follower of Jesus, or having been saved, or having been adopted into the Father's family. These are different ways of expressing the same thing. And so too, we can describe the way the Spirit works in our life in different ways. Baptism with the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, receiving the Spirit. But a word of clarification here, because these things have split Christians sometimes. If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. He was the one who brought you to Christ in the first place. You are his handiwork. Paul speaks in Romans 5, and I quote, God's love having been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who he has given to us. In Romans 8, he speaks of us having the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6, I quote, we were washed, we were sanctified, set apart. We were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Paul tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. There's no longer a need for a building in Jerusalem. We are his temple now. We are God's temple, specifically the temple of the Holy Spirit. And in Galatians 4, he tells us, because we are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, Abba being Aramaic for dad. The real question is, are we truly open to what the Spirit wants to do in us and through us? Are we like a car firing on all cylinders, or are we firing on just one or two? How do we know if we are filled with the Spirit, to use that term from our chapter today? And this is important. In Ephesians 5, Paul tells the Ephesians and us, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. That's a command, not a suggestion. Part of knowing we are filled with the Spirit can be a feeling of closeness to God. Knowing God as our Father, knowing he's our Dad, Abba. But we can deceive ourselves sometimes, can't we? Feelings are subjective. But there are objective ways of knowing whether we're filled with the Spirit. In Paul's letter to the Galatians in chapter 5, there's that well-known piece of text where he says that the fruit of the Spirit, the result of us being filled with the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's not just some of those being a sign, but altogether they're a sign of whether we've allowed the Spirit to work in our lives, whether we're allowed the Spirit to fill us, however we want to put it. But do note, it's not a case of if I can tick six of those nine off, I'm filled with the Spirit. They should all come together. But let's also look at what happened for the disciples today. Yes, they were speaking in these foreign languages, and that caught the attention of the crowd. And that's often the thing we remember most about this passage, isn't it? But what did these Spirit-filled Christians then do? Did they sit and bask in an amazing experience they'd had? I mean, this was a wow day, if there ever was one. And sometimes Christians do have wow days. One day I'll tell you about a wow afternoon at Bothorpe Church, but not today. But they didn't sit back and bask in this, did they? In verse 11, Luke tells us that Peter stood up with the 11 and addressed the crowd. I'd like to jump ahead a bit here, actually, before we actually look at what Peter says. If you've got your Bible, if you can turn to verse 40. Luke only records part of Peter's speech here. He says, with many other words, he warned him. This record by Luke is a resume of what Peter said. Peter said lots more. Did Peter just tell people something and then leave God to do his bit? Not here, he didn't. What did he do? He pleaded with the people. He didn't just explain the gospel to them and leave it at that. He pleaded with them. The word used there by Luke is used in lots of other places in the New Testament. And yes, it means plead or beg. One example, you may remember Jairus, who was a leader of a synagogue, whose young daughter was dying. Mark tells us in chapter 5, verse 23, Jairus pleaded earnestly with Jesus. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Peter pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. He puts his heart and soul into it. This is a result of him and the others being filled with the Spirit. So when we tell others about Jesus, do we put our heart and soul into it? Really, do we? And this wasn't just Peter, a thing that Peter did on one particular special day. Paul too put his heart and soul into it. Lots of examples, but one example is in Acts 19. Paul argued persuasively about the kingdom of God in a synagogue every Sabbath for 3 months. He put his heart and soul into it. So should we. So what does Peter actually say? He tells people that God's at work here, that what they heard was a fulfillment of what Joel had foretold. He doesn't get into an argument with them, but explains something that they could see themselves. And then this amazing bit. In the very city where a crowd, including some of these people, had begged for Jesus' death, he tells them about Jesus. He tells them how Jesus' death was part of God's plan to save us from our sins. God raised him from the dead, as David had foretold in the Psalms. Now Jesus had been raised and ascended to heaven, and he was pouring out his Holy Spirit on his people. And then for me, this is a startling verse, verse 36. Peter saying this, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. That was a brave thing to do, brave thing to stand up and tell them about Jesus, but tells them, this is the Jesus that you crucified. But the crowd needed to hear it. Peter said this because they needed to hear it, not to make Peter feel good. And he got through to the crowd. They asked, what do we do? Peter tells them plainly, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If they repented and were baptized, they would be forgiven and would receive the Holy Spirit to lead them, guide them, fill them. There's no promise here that life will be easy. In fact, we know from what Jesus said, there is actually a promise that life will be hard as a follower of him, but it will be worth it. We will be adopted into God's family. We will be forgiven. That was the promise then, and it's the promise now. If you're not a Christian, then my question to you today is, will you turn from your own ways and go God's way? That's what it means to repent, to change your mind, change your attitude, change it to God's way. And for the many, many of us here today who are already Christians, the question is, will we open ourselves up to the Spirit? Will we let him do what he wants in our life? Or are we going to say to him, no, you can have these bits of my life, but not that bit? If we want to please God, if we want to be effective as Christians, then we have to open ourselves up fully to him. So can we just have a moment or two of quiet for those of us who want to think through what our response should be. And then when we've had a moment or two of quiet, I'll pray. Father, thank you for what Peter did in response to you, pouring out your spirit on them that day. Thank you for his boldness. Thank you for his sincerity. Thank you for them obeying Jesus. Lord, please help us to do that. Encourage us and challenge us and fill us with your spirit. Amen. Over to you, Mark.
Thank you so much for a stirring and thought-provoking talk, Alan. And in response, we're now going to spend a few moments declaring our faith, just speaking out the very essence of what we believe. And we're actually going to do it in two different ways today, just to give extra emphasis to it. And recognizing that as individuals, we respond differently to different ways of conveying our faith. We're going to do, first of all, in a spoken version. And we're then going to follow up by singing a song, which is called This I Believe, which you'll recognize, which again emphasizes just the very essence of what we believe. We renew our commitment to our reigning Lord. Let us affirm the faith of the church with Christ, which Christ commissions us to share with the world. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist?
I believe and trust in him.
Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us, and rose again?
I believe and trust in him.
Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world?
I believe and trust in him.
This is the faith of the church.
This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
And we now sing together, This I Believe.
Our Father everlasting, be your creating one, God Almighty. Jesus, our Savior, I believe in God, our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one, I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. In the name of Jesus.
Let's pray. Holy Spirit, sent by the Father, ignite in us your holy fire. Strengthen your children with the gift of faith. Revive your church with the breath of love. And renew the face of the earth through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now, this is normally the time when I would say, would you like to stand? But don't feel compelled to stand in the current circumstances. But we are now going to share the peace together. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
And let's give each other a big wave to share the peace together. That's all so quiet and sedate and civilized, isn't it, compared to normal? Extraordinary. Now we're going to go into a time where we're going to break the bread together. So hopefully you've all got your bread to hand. Oh, that's a shock when I suddenly see myself on the screen. Now, what we're going to do is to share some words together. And then once we've done that, we'll break and eat the bread together. And after that, we'll just have a few quiet moments whilst we look at an image which reminds us of the fruit of the Spirit that Alan talked about in his talk. And I wonder whether there are particular ones that you feel you need some extra help with from the Holy Spirit during this time of lockdown. I know there are certain ones that I could definitely do with an extra dose of. So if you would like to hold your bread as we look and share the words that will be coming up on the screen. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry."
Come, Lord Jesus, bread of life.
Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you and I will ask the Father, and he will give you the Spirit of truth."
Come, Lord Jesus, bread of life.
As the scattered grains make one loaf, although we are scattered, Jesus calls us into unity as one body.
Come, Lord Jesus, bread of life.
Jesus is the one who reveals himself at the breaking of the bread.
Come, Lord Jesus, bread of life.
And as we break the bread and hold it and eat it together, we break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread.
It's been lovely to share bread together this morning, and let's now sing together, "Come Down, O Love Divine." And we're now going to enter into a time of prayer, which Anna is going to lead.
Can you hear me? Following Sally's talk last week on the power of prayer and Alan's focus today on the power of the Holy Spirit, this morning, let us imagine our prayers as being like the ripples in a pond made by throwing a stone into the water. The surface of the pond starts still and silent. The stone drops into the middle and we see the first circle emerge. In this circle are the people closest to us, family, friends, the irreplaceable ones. There aren't many in this first small circle, but we know them well, their strengths and their struggles, their enjoyments and their special problems. At this worrying time, we pray for their mental and physical well-being. Fill them, Lord, with the power of your Holy Spirit and your peace. The circle spreads. Look now at the second circle. Here are the people we know well, perhaps work with, go out with sometimes. Here there may be more distant members of the family whom we don't make contact with as much as we ought, but we care for them nonetheless. Here are neighbours, friends from a while ago, people who send us Christmas cards, and there are many and varying needs among them. Prompt us, Lord, to inquire after their well-being. Fill them, Lord, with the power of your Holy Spirit and your peace. Let us pray for them now. The circle spreads again. Look now at the third and fourth circles. In these circles are people we may know by sight, those we see in the village shop or pass in the street. And here too are people we know of, but don't know personally. All those working now for our safety and protection. Nurses and doctors, cleaners, bin men, teachers, transport workers, shopkeepers. There are hundreds of people out here in these circles, too many to pray for individually, but we acknowledge with deep gratitude the parts they play in our lives. And they are known to God. He has loved them from birth. Let them be washed by these circles of prayer. Fill them, Lord, with the power of your Holy Spirit, your strength, your courage and your peace, as we pray for them now. The circles spread right out. They reach the edge of the pond. One after another, they lap against the banks. Our prayers extend to the ends of the earth, for all of God's creation is hurting at the moment, and all people are the object of God's love and mercy. We are so grateful, Lord, that you encompass all things within the circle of your extraordinary care and keeping. In these far circles, we hold everyone in the love of God our Father. Fill all your people, Lord, with the power of your Holy Spirit, your healing, your hope, and your peace. Lord God, our Father, our prayers this morning are a small pebble thrown into a large expanse of need, We thank you that your love is boundless, and we entrust every circle of our prayers to your generous mercy and grace. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Anna. We're now going to say the Lord's Prayer together. And this week we're using the traditional version, which I will say, but please feel free to use whichever version is closest to your heart. God will hear the words just the same. So let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We're coming towards the end of our service now, but before we finish, I would just like to say a very big thank you to Alan and to Mark, because every week there's a huge amount of work that goes on in the preparation for these services that is unseen to most of us. And Alan particularly was multitasking in an extraordinarily efficient way today. And we really pushed you to the limit, and we're very, very grateful to both Mark and Alan for their technical skills that allow us to join together in this oasis of togetherness once a week. And so we are very, very grateful to you for all you commit to that. So we're going to go into our final prayers, and then at the end we will unmute you all so that we have the opportunity to have a little chat and say our farewells. As we wait in silence,
make us ready for your coming, Spirit.
As we listen to your word,
make us ready for your coming, Spirit.
As we worship you in majesty,
make us ready for your coming, Spirit.
As we long for your refreshing,
make us ready for your coming, Spirit.
As we long for your renewing,
make us ready for your coming, Spirit.
As we long for your equipping,
make us ready for your coming, Spirit.
As we long for your empowering,
make us ready for your coming, Spirit.
God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. May the gifts of your Spirit equip us to serve and worship you, now and always. Amen. Now, service of the time of Pentecost is a time of celebration. We've done quite a lot of reflecting, and there's been some gentleness about parts of the service today. But let's finish with a resounding sing. And even if you don't know this particular song, the words are great and it's very easy to pick up. So I hope that we can all really lift our respective roofs off with a great big sing. And a celebration of the fact that God has given us his Holy Spirit as his gift to us, his children. Bring our service to a close, and we all have an opportunity to say farewell together. Let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.